Hello, all you deadheads out there. It's your host with the most, Benjamin Dutil, with the Horror Heathen YouTube channel and the South Jersey Horror Podcast. Today is a remarkable episode. I have a remarkable actor with me today, Mr. Alan Troutman, who you all know as Tar Man from the best cult movie ever from the 80s, The Return of the Living Dead from 1985. This, like I
That's
said, this is
it.
our remarkable episode because I still watch the movie to this day. It's still one of my favorite comedy horrors, and it's just such a phenomenal movie, and it's still getting talked to, even like, I don't know, almost dead, almost 4 years later. It's ridiculous, but also a good thing at the same time because, in my opinion, The Return of Living Dead is absolutely incredible. But before I get into that stuff, please welcome Mr. Alan Troutman, also known as Tarman. Thank you, sir. How the hell are you doing?
I'm doing great, Benjamin. I'm feeling good and looking forward to having a good time.
Absolutely fantastic. This is a huge honor and pleasure for me. I mean, I've been a fan of Tarman for a very long time. And the moment you said you wanted to do this, I was doing cartwheels down my hallway in my house. Just saying.
Sounds dangerous. Hope you don't have any pets.
No, well, I do. My dogs were scared, maybe, but that's about it. So, small bio on you, and God, I hope to God this is correct. I really do. So,
Okay.
you were born in Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah.
Moved to Miami Beach with your family at the beginning of ninth grade. You
Right.
began acting in Miami Beach Senior High under the direction of the famed drama teacher Jay Jensen.
That's true.
You spent, oh, wow, I'm glad this is true so far. And I don't feel like an idiot. You spent 4 years in St. Louis at Washington University, earning a BA in physics and drama, and then you earned your MFA in acting from the California Institute of the Arts, where you met your beautiful wife, Diane. While in St. Louis, you began your puppetry career working on the Letter People at public TV station KETC. It sounds like you've had a phenomenal, you've lived a phenomenal life so far. I mean, it sounds more adventurous than mine.
I've been very lucky. I've been in the right place, the right time, when I needed to be, and I had friends who told me about key auditions along the way and got me into a couple of the important entry doors in my life. So it's I'm not saying that talent doesn't play any part there, but I've been very, very lucky to have been born when I did, was born, where I was born, and just I was in the right place at the right time a lot. So luck played a big part in my success, I have to say.
It sounds like all the planets were aligned that day you were born. It's just
Thing I
yeah.
didn't blow it.
So the movie and your character, Tarman, listen, I absolutely love the movie. But I have to say this, I loved one of the first lines in the film where James Cameron says, "Have you ever seen Night of the Living Dead?" Because it wasn't just a movie. It's the truth. It's like,
It was based on a true story.
and this, but the government began trying to cover it up, and he could prove it. And that's the whole movie right there. Just this be lines.
I just love how it sets up the whole thing in three lines like that. It's just the dumbest premise ever that
But yet,
these two numbskulls
But
would
yet, people still watched it, which is fantastic.
No,
I mean, who?
because the actors are so good. James Cameron is terrific. I mean, his performance is kind of over the top, but in a good way. You know, it's not like bad acting over the top. It's just like super committed numbskullness
Yeah.
that I love. And that's it. That's a theme throughout the whole movie, or a motif that It's just the filmmakers and the actors are just all in on this, you know. There's not a moment where you don't believe that the actors believe what's going on, you know. And that's the important thing. That's what draws the audience in.
And of course, it has to do with the undead. Who's not going to watch a movie about the undead? I mean, it seems to be like, I don't know, the general consensus when it comes to horror movies is like, hey, we have to watch movies about zombies and the undead. It's a rule. I mean,
Well, it's something that really I think goes straight down to your lizard brain psyche thing. It's like, what if, you know, it's one of those what ifs that is scary on a primal level, not only for how you react to the presence of zombies, which can't be controlled, can't be reasoned with. It's just this pure id, I want brains, you know, and it's a frightening thing. But also for what can happen to you, you know, for you to, for the viewer, they put themselves in the same position and say, well, boy, how would I feel if I were to lose everything that made me me, and still I was out walking around, and how much of me might still be in there trapped. And it's a horrible kind of mental exercise, you know, to put yourself in. It's horrible to contemplate. And so it works on both those levels, I think, and that's what makes a lot of the zombie films tick.
Is that absolutely? I agree 110%. I mean, the movie is richly deserved for us older generation folk. I'm just, it's just...
It holds up really well. I mean, a lot of movies from the 80s don't date well, you know. And it's not just because it took place in the 80s. This movie is like got 80s splattered all over it with the punk rockers and everything and the soundtrack. I mean, it's obviously an 80s movie, but everything else, the humor and the practical effects are so good that it doesn't matter, you know. It just transcends all the intervening 40 years, and it's just really alive. And that's again the directing and the actors.
Absolutely. Your character, Tarman, an unanimated creature stuck in a barrel and then later becomes animated and only screams one word. I mean, it's just, your performance in that movie was delightfully creepy. It's just...
Thank you. Although he actually says two words, he says more brains at one point.
Okay, no, you're right. He does. It's just, so how did you hear about the role and how did you land it?
In 1984, I guess, this was, I was working as an actor and a puppeteer. And at that stage, I was, you know, out of school for like 6 years, so I was just establishing myself. And at that point, you go out for every single audition you get a chance to do, you know, whether it's a commercial or a movie or a TV show or stage productions. I was still doing stage productions at that point, here in LA. And my agent sent me out on this thing, and it's like I looked at the script and I'm like, well, this is unusual. There's just not really a lot of dialogue here for this character. I'm like, all right. I don't know what they're gonna want me to do at the audition, but it's, you know, they gave me the scene in the basement, obviously, and I'm like, yeah, okay. I don't know how you prepare for that. So I went to the audition, and the movements just sort of came out of the just on the spot, came out of the situation. The way the character was described in the script and by the casting director was that he was sort of melting and just barely being held together by the last few sinews, and that he might just collapse and into a puddle at any given time. And I use that as the jumping off point for the movement, for the centering and how it literally would affect my body. And I didn't choreograph anything. I didn't really think of anything intellectually. It just sort of came out. And I guess it worked.
They chose the right man for the job. Just saying. I mean, I tried to mimic your walk in the movie, and me being 45 years old with osteoporosis and arthritis, like this is not. I tried to like, nope, this is not going to work for me because you can't do
Yeah,
it.
it's easier when you're a live 29-year-old who's very flexible and all of that. Even now, I can still sort of do the walk because I'm still pretty limber, but and it's although I don't like to do it outside the suit because it just looks weird. It's like, oh, what's wrong with that poor old man? Somebody help him across the street.
I think if you were to put the suit on and no one would know it would be you, just saying, because it's like, who is that? Then you take it out. It's me, Alan Trautman, the original Tar Man. I
Ta-da!
mean,
Oh,
yeah, because I've watched other people try to mimic that walk. And like I said, I used to work at the Valley of Fear, and they had the cemetery where they had the Tar Man walk out with the theme song, and no one can do it like you. It's like a one. It's like a trademark. They just can't
Yeah.
do
I'll give you a hint. It's all in the hips.
it.
That's where it
So
starts, for me anyway.
I'm going to tell the person who does the Tar Man at the Fear, and it's like, watch this interview. I mean, there's a pointer right there. That's your tip. It's all in the hips. So this movie, in my opinion, paved the way for a lot of zombie movies. However, it's much different than what we see now. I mean, in Return of the Living Dead, it's not about, taking the heads off or destroying the brains. It's all about burning them, I guess. I don't know how Clue Cowgirl's real character, burns them in the incinerator. But to me, it escalates nicely. And it's one of those movies where the humor and the horror never really undercut each other.
Yeah,
So
they amplify each other.
it's great. I mean, do you have any thoughts on that concept at all? I mean, I would love to know.
Well, horror and humor have always been closely related because they're essentially the same type of thing. It's about building tension and then releasing it. When you build tension, you're ready to go. You're like a Jenga tower with plenty of bricks pulled out. And all it takes is one little thing, and you'll notice, even if it's a little scare, like in Aliens, when the cat jumps out. Anytime the cat jumps out, it's not a genuine horror scare. It's a scare, it's a boop. And the audience will, because as soon as they realize there's no jeopardy there, they laugh. Because that tension is being released. Say, oh, I thought it was a monster. And it's laughter. It's genuine laughter. So there's nothing wrong with saying, okay, how can we play off of that and build in some intentional laughs, knowing that the undercurrent at any time is that something horrible can jump out and eat your brains, which is why the, Tarman's big reveal behind the curtain is such a great moment, because it's just choreographed really well, it's directed really well, because you just don't expect him to be right there looking at you when the curtain comes over. And it's like, what? All of a sudden you've been laughing and going, oh, this is fun. Ooh, that's creepy. And then all of a sudden it's like it gets real. So when the stakes are always high, you're always ready to scream and laugh at the same time. And the movie is really well calibrated to know which valve they want to open up at any given time, whether it's a laugh or a scream.
It's like how they in most movies they trick you with the music that might be like foreshadowing or foreboding a moment, and then nothing. So
Miss
to me
Miss yeah.
that's genius. I'm sorry, to me that this is really this pure genius right there.
Misdirection has been in horror movies, from the get-go.
So what I find interesting is that your character Tarman, people are still idolizing him to this day. I mean, the costume is still being sold in stores, still online. I see him people wear it at Halloween parties, at haunts. I'm like, dude, this movie's made back in 1985, and people are still dressing up as Tarman. I just find that it does. I mean, that's phenomenal. I mean, if it was me, I want someone to recognize me, like, hey, buy a suit of Ben 40 years and wear it to a Halloween party. That's what I want. So, or
It's
like
pretty
a
cool.
mask
I
for me.
mean,
So,
yeah, the co I see costume people in costume at cons, and it's always great to see what they've come up with and the effort they've put into it, and the pride they take in having done it. And I always try and get a picture with them when they come slinking by.
essentially, your character's been immortalized and still being worshipped.
Well, see, it is really cool having a couple of action figures out there.
So,
Those are fun.
have you seen any of the sequels whatsoever from Return of the Living Dead?
Well, I was in the second one, so I saw that one, but I didn't watch any of the ones after
Let me save you the
that.
trouble. Because they had the third one, and then they had like all the way to like Necropolis. I'm like, it should just stopped after two. Seriously, man, it got, in my opinion, and I hope I'm not hurting anyone's feelings by saying this, just should have stopped after the
Well,
sequel.
that's all out of the. It's not a creative decision at that point. It's just producers realizing that there's a enthusiastic, if small, audience that will always buy those things. This is back when it was on DVD or VHS, even. And as long as they can keep the budget down below what they'll make in the sales that they know they can make, then there's no reason not to keep doing these. And it doesn't really matter. The quality doesn't really matter, unfortunately. So
And
there we
I'm just
are.
like, after the second one, the idea just died for me. I mean, it's the same with the it's the same way with the Amityville movies. Like after the second one, it just started down spiraling.
Like, do we really need another one of these? It was a great story.
I heard on the grapevine that they're trying to do a reboot of this movie, and I'm thinking, oh God, why? Just leave it alone, man. So, I mean, you cannot copy the original's perfectly chaotic party. You just can't do it.
And
I mean,
part of the charm of the whole thing is the all the practical effects, and you can only imagine if it was properly funded this time around, if they wanted to reboot the story, there would be a lot of CG involved, and it just sort of it's like I've seen CG zombies already, and a lot of them are very impressive, but it's like I don't know that it would improve this story,
Well,
So
to me, the Return of the Dead is just pure entertainment. I loved it. I loved every single second of it. And like I said, it's got 1980s slapped all over it. I mean, it just bring okay, I'm 45. It brought back a lot of memories for me watching that movie. And I was like, I used to dress like that. Jesus Christ. I mean, I never had the punk hair though, but I did have the kind of clothes.
Ah,
So but
little
it was
young for
just
the
it's just
punk hair.
It's an all-around outstanding movie, and I wish I could just relive that moment every day. So, I mean, but you, sir, as Tar Man, phenomenally well done. I mean, they couldn't have picked anyone better to do it.
Oh,
So,
thanks. I
I
appreciate
have
it.
one more question. I have one more question for you. Do you have any upcoming movies or projects that you can talk about?
Let's see. I've got a few conventions coming up. I'm going to be in Knoxville, Tennessee. I forget when that is, whether it's May or June or July. It's coming up sometime soon in Knoxville, Tennessee. And this is unusual in that not only will I have Tar Man photos to sign, but it's going to be a reunion of sorts among the four suit performers who were inside the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in the early 90s. It'll
Okay.
be the first time they're all getting together. And since I think three of them were also, or two of them, were also part of the cast of Dinosaurs, the TV series that I worked on in the 90s, that there's going to be some of those actors and puppeteers also. So we're going to do a mini reunion for Dinosaurs and for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That'll be in Knoxville. And then I'm going later in the year to Mesa, Arizona. I think that's in August. There's a convention there. And then the end of this month, the end of, I don't know when this episode of yours drops, but I think it's, here it is, Sunday, the 28th of April, here in LA on the Henson Soundstage, which is the historic Charlie Chaplin studio. I'll be in the Sunday casts of the Puppet Up shows that we're doing. That's the Henson Alternative Live puppet improv show that we do. So I'll be performing there in just a couple of weeks.
Wow, it sounds like you had a handful the last couple of months.
I'm looking
So,
forward to it.
I just want to show you one more thing. I don't know if you can see this or not.
Oh,
Here, look at
yeah,
her.
there's you and Beverly.
Yeah, she is such a sweet person. I loved talking to
Oh,
her.
she's a sweetheart.
Yeah, and she, Cal, I was doing volunteering that day for the horror convention in New Jersey, and she happened to be there. I was like, oh my God, I have to get her
She's
autograph.
like a
So.
den mother whenever we have these reunions at out of town, and it's like, okay, after the show, and we're all trying to figure out where to go, and she's like, got it down. She's like, okay, we're gonna go to this restaurant, and then she's herding us all around. It's really cute.
So I'm hoping that you, her, and I can't remember his name. Is it Matthew? Yeah, Thomas Matthew. Tom. I hope
Tom
you
Matthews.
all get the three of you get to be at the next, one of these conventions. I know Monster Mania is a huge convention here in New Jersey, and I believe they would love to have you to have like a Tournament of
Love
Dead
to be
reunion.
there.
So,
I think I've been
there's.
there in the past, but I'm always happy to come back.
I will let Doug Hagen know. I will send him a message on. On Facebook.
You got it.
Right, Alan, you've been a great guest. I had a fun time talking to you about your role. And Jesus Christ, pardon my French, but you are such a fantastic actor. And thank you so
Thank you,
much for joining
Benjamin.
me today.
I had a
And
good time. Thank you.
I wish you nothing but success in your career. And more movies to come, more projects. Just keep doing what you're doing, man. I love you. So.
All right. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
And I will see you on the big screen.
Okay. Take care.
Yeah.